episodes old today, so hooray! Welcome to the special 10th birthday episode. On today's bumper edition, we chat to Jasper Cromwell Jones, Chris the Puffin, and we celebrate another birthday of Alma, who is 112 years old today. But first, Hayley Danks and Ruth Goodchild review the solar eclipse, live from the South Bank, London.
Hello, it's Hayley Danks here.
And Ruth Goodchild over here, hello.
Hello, We're mildly excited.
Yes. It is tempered excitement for me.
Yeah. My excitement I would describe as dampened. Because we're here at the South Bank, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Waiting for the solar eclipse.
Yes, the 85% solar eclipse, which is due here in London any moment now, it's meant to start.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, when it was made apparent that it was only an 85% eclipse, that's when my heart really started to sink, and
exactly.
I just thought, you know,
it's like sort of saying it's lost a star. It's a 4-star eclipse. I mean, it's a 1-star literally eclipse.
Ruth, you excelled yourself there.
But it's sort of a B minus already, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. You know. I mean, you know. Also, I think it just shows a bit of a lack of effort. I mean, you know, if you're not going to give it 100%,
it's why even bother?
No, why bother? It's like go hard or go home.
Exactly. Cover the whole sun, or just don't bother. Just go round like normal.
Yeah.
Why even bothering? It should be starting any moment now.
Yeah. So we're gathered here with some.
People? Are we going to?
I suppose you could call them.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I'm so sorry, Ruth. There are a couple of families here. I know. I should have forewarned you.
I just think it's so predictable, isn't it? Mm. What a mother and a father and children looking at the eclipse. Ugh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the direction we're going in with this?
Rather dumb. But you know, I'm standing here with my G&T, and you've got your boiled cup of water.
Exactly.
And I know,
a bit extravagant to be honest, but
well, yeah,
but you know, it's a special moment, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, celebrate,
because normally you only drink water at a room temperature.
Yeah,
I
tepid. That's what I like to go for. Lukewarm. You know, don't want to push the boat out too much, but everybody's looking up in with great excitement.
Yes
And we can it's just starting now, I think. Yes, we can see the moon crossing over in front of the sun there.
Right. Is that okay? So
that's what's happening.
That's the moon.
The moon is the one closer to us.
Right.
The moon is the one that's closer to us, and the sun's the sort of bright one that's a bit further away.
Although, would you say that's sort of down to everyone's individual interpretation?
Well, it's a really good point, actually, that you make, because, you know, I think, how does the moon feel never being described as bright?
I know.
You know, you were never described as bright.
No.
And it's really affected you.
Well, it has, and it really pushed me on to excel. You know,
yes, exactly.
Like, for me, academic failure was merely a prod in the back towards my creativity and towards my achievements in that area.
Well, I hope that the moon is taking it in the same way, in the same vein, you know.
Yeah.
We can see now, there's a lot of excitement. There's people are making
hubbub.
Rhubarb thing. I can't see that this is anything to really be getting exciting. I mean, this is literally the most predictable thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know.
For me, I would liken this to, you know, the Christmas episode of Call the Midwife.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
we know every single step of the way what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
You know.
We had high hopes. They were not quite met.
Exactly.
I mean, really, with Call the Midwife, one would have thought for a Christmas special they could have gone to Spain or, you know, done something a bit different.
They could have gone on holiday, exactly.
Changed the era.
Exactly.
And likewise, with this experience, I feel that, I don't know, perhaps for me, I just would have liked a quicker pace.
Yes, it's really laborious,
yeah.
Isn't it? Taking so long.
Uh-huh.
Is this something that really needs to take 2 hours?
Is it, Ruth?
It's like most action films. It's half an hour too long.
Yeah.
Slice the last half hour off.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So do we know that it's going to take 2 hours?
Yes.
Okay.
So
how do we know?
Okay, so the way it works... the way it works is, with maths, they can work it out. I mean, literally...
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. You said maths, and I have a sort of a jolt where I just instantly switch off. I'm sorry, there's no...
No, I know.
I can't even... No, like, no.
Okay. No. Right.
I know we came up against this problem when we first met.
Yes, and also when you do have taxes as well.
Yeah, thanks for helping me out of that situation.
That's okay. I do understand what you mean. What annoys me about mathematics is, does it always have to be the same? Does 1 plus 1 always have to equal 2?
Yes.
It's just dull, isn't it?
I know.
Why mix it up a bit?
Well, you tried to, didn't you, in your PhD?
I did. I knew maths, but... They weren't having any of it.
NU maths.
A new mathematics.
NU.
Like New Labour. New maths.
I loved that.
But they weren't. They tore it to shreds, really. I was trying to bring artistry.
Yeah.
And culture to mathematics. And their reaction was sort of along the lines of, no, mathematics has to work to these rigid rules that have gone back thousands of years. Isn't it time we mixed it up?
Yeah.
Come on.
Rules are there to be broken.
Exactly.
I thought that actually, you know, you were ahead of your time with your new maths.
I think, you know, in maybe 100, 200 years, they'll look back and think Good Child's Theorem
was
ahead of its time.
Hashtag Good Child's Theorem.
That's what I wrote in the PhD.
I know, I helped you with the social media element.
Exactly, and they did not go for that. They did not go for that at all.
It's weird, wasn't it?
It was a very odd experience, the whole thing, really. So...
Yeah, okay, great. So there's a bit more commotion.
So it's reaching, not totality, this isn't a total eclipse, but it's reaching the midpoint now. Because they can predict these hundreds, thousands of years in advance.
What do you mean?
So... Again, going back to the mathematics, they can use... Don't worry about it, but they can work it out.
Okay,
they can work it out a long time in advance.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean about this being predictable. Ugh, you know.
Yeah.
Why not just have an eclipse, you know, just on a Thursday, just out of nowhere? Suddenly it happens.
Well, now you've got me interested.
This is what I mean.
Because obviously, you know, it was difficult for me to attend tonight because I just wasn't sure right from the beginning that it was my sort of thing.
Exactly. This has been all over the papers.
Yeah.
Spoilers everywhere. There's going to be an eclipse.
Well, yes.
Why have you told us? That's a surprise.
Why have you told us the ending?
Exactly. And so what I'd like to see is next time there's an eclipse and all of the scientists are just shitting themselves because they weren't expecting it and they're running out with paper, just looking at the sky. With calculators going, what the hell's going on? That then, I'd feel like I was in a film and it would be really exciting.
Now that would be drama.
That would be real life drama. As opposed to this, which is more like a sort of dry soap.
Yes. Now what is this? This is sort of, it's standing around.
Standing around, looking at the sky.
I'm looking at it still.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that, you know, an effort's being made.
Yeah.
But for me, like, fair enough, you know, the idea is there, but there's something lacking in the execution.
Yes, exactly.
It just doesn't feel like a fully rounded development of a plot or
a
narrative.
I agree. It starts, it goes through the middle and then it ends.
It's linear. And
it's really linear.
Which is ironic because it's sort
all
of spherical
with
and
circles. And you're right. I mean, that interests me in one way, but not in two or three or four ways. I mean, that's the point, really.
And really,
isn't it?
I mean, you know, that's what we're looking for in everything. I think in all of our work that we review,
layers, and
interest on, you know, multifaceted interests.
Exactly. There's not even a person on that moon. At the moment.
Hang on, what?
There's not even a person up there. So there's only been, I think, 12 people who've been up there. And there's not even one there now, sort of.
Fucking hell, Ruth.
I know.
I just think, you know, we've come on so far. We've got the resources now. We've got the budgets. What are they playing at? What's our taxpayers' money doing if not sending someone up there?
And next time they send someone up there, why not send a poet? Why not send an artist?
Or
exactly.
A dancer.
Exactly.
I'd love to see that.
I'd love to see a dancer in microgravity.
It'd be amazing.
Imagine that. Imagine the fouettes they could do. We should be establishing an art gallery on the moon.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry. I mean, I feel quite bad, actually, because I would have got going on that had I known that one didn't exist already.
You assume, though, don't you?
I'm sorry, I'm actually quite shocked, Ruth. I just assumed that someone would be up there
doing some sketches or something.
Yeah, I thought at least, you know, at least some sort of pop person.
You'd think, wouldn't you?
At least Dermot O'Leary.
At the very least, a reporting from there.
Exactly. You might not have the actual star themselves, if the irony of using the word star. But, you know, you might not have that, but you would at least have, you know, a presenter.
Exactly. And that's only the moon. And why we can't get someone on the surface of the sun is beyond me.
Yeah.
It's 2015, for goodness sake.
I'll tell you what it is. It's lazy.
It is lazy. That's what I've always said about scientists.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, for goodness sake.
That's why you dropped out of your third PhD.
Exactly. I just thought, pull your finger out, scientists.
Yeah, you know, science is not for me anymore.
Exactly. I'm going to the arts and, you know, pushing the human race forward.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because I thought when you embarked on new science, you know, you were really onto something there as well.
I thought so. It was a synergy of, you know, classical music, sculpture and mathematics.
Yeah, it had legs.
It did.
It literally had legs. I loved your leg exhibition.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the PhD itself had legs as well. It was attached to the binder.
I know. How could they overlook that?
I know.
I was really angry for you. Anyway, those days are gone.
Moon is now passing the second half of the sun. It's moving away. The eclipse is coming to an end.
Well, is it? I mean, really, well, can you be sure that that's what's actually happening? Is that your interpretation of events?
I might go as far as to say the eclipse is coming to an end, but I see what you mean. It's sort of a layman's
sort of
interpretation of what's going on, isn't it?
Yeah. I noticed that a lot of people around, and yourself, in fact, are donning some interesting eyewear.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. These eclipse goggles, so that you can look at it.
Sort of like when you're in a cinema and you're wearing the 3D. Is it like that?
It's similar, except it's not for 3D, it's for eclipses.
Okay.
But other than that, it's identical, really.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like, for me, it sort of detracted from my, you know, my specs.
And you didn't like the design either,
No. I prefer just my... I mean, I don't have... As you know, I don't have any lenses in my own glasses.
No. It's pedestrian to do so.
Yeah. But, you know, I have contact lenses in.
Yeah.
And then I have my frames. And I just felt that goggles as well would be a bridge too far.
It's too many sort of barriers between you and the event.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
Okay. Same. Okay, but you're okay?
I'm all right. Why wouldn't I be?
Just a concern. But now we can see the two discs are completely separated.
Okay, this, something's happening, Ruth, and it's not good.
What can you see right now?
Not much. I've got to be honest, not much at all. Quite a lot of pain.
Okay, now
I don't know whether I should just ride it through. And whether it's just my imagination.
Firing.
Yeah.
But, see, I would phone 999, but that seems such a sort of predictable thing to do.
Don't do that.
And that has to press 9 more than once.
Repetition.
Let's see. Should I call an ambulance, or is that quite a boring thing to do?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think for me it's probably a metaphor that's happening, so I'm just going to sit it out.
Okay. It's your imagination that's firing. Yeah. It's just that you can't take all of the sort of wonderful culture that we've experienced today.
I think it must be that.
It must be that.
Hello, I'm Kirsty Young, and you're listening to Desert Island Death Discs, where we ask our castaways to choose one disc that they hate so... Do you know what? I can't be fucked doing this anymore. I'm going to go outside and get myself a whiskey and sit down and... Why and where? I may have had a drop to... What? I can't feel my teeth anymore. Hello? Last week, I had the dubious honour of interviewing the climber and adventurer Jasper Cromwell Jones, who was joined by his long-term companion and friend, Chris the Puffin. It was an enlightening and, at times, almost sensual chat.
Good afternoon. It's very exciting to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. Yeah.
I've read both of your books, This Is Not a Holiday and Lost in Lashmania.
Yeah, fan, clearly.
Big fan. I was quite moved by the second book.
Finding Daddy.
Yeah.
It's a good read, isn't it?
It's a really good read. Thank you. There's a lot of depth to it, and it seems like you have a lot of depth to you. Much like the rivers that you explore.
Very much so, yeah. Oh, thank you very much. My publisher told me that I needed to go on another adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Because my initial book had sold into the hundreds. In total. I'd lost in Lashmania. I'd lost my best friend Fishy up a mountain, and then I lost my friend Spendy and Bratwurst. So I sort of decided to go on another adventure. And then obviously I found out that my daddy wasn't my daddy. That's why I went to Australia.
And how do you feel now in your life? Are you happier?
Still looking for daddy, so that's sort of still on the to-do list. I'm happy with myself, yeah. I've got a bit of a suntan as well. So.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm. And you're also doing a tour, is that right?
I am, yeah.
Talking about your adventures, and so if anyone wants to come to that... Mm.
Please do. JasperCromwellJones.co.uk.
Great. I think what's really lovely today is that we also have Chris here.
Fuck. Sorry about that.
That's fine. So you're probably acclimatising to being indoors. Being a puffin, you're used to the outdoors.
That's right. Yeah, it's an unusual environment for me. So excuse me if it takes me a while to acclimatise to it.
No, that's absolutely fine. Is that okay, that stool? Are you do you feel safe up there?
That's absolutely fine. And, you know, with Jasper around, you know, I can go different places and I feel comfortable.
Yeah, so it's really fascinating how you two met. You've known each other for quite a long time now.
That's right.
And I believe you met when you were exploring.
Adventuring, yeah. As I said, needed a partner in crime, as it were. And it seemed to fit, you know, as in he fit quite neatly into my rucksack.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people would say that was pretty cruel to sort of take an animal, a puffin, and just shove it in your rucksack. I mean...
I sort of opened the zip a little bit for air. Mm-hmm. It seemed to be quite comfy, you know, nice chats.
Chris, how did you feel about that? Did you feel a bit like you were being kidnapped?
I did, but would you understand me if I were to say there are some circumstances in which a kidnapping would be preferable to the lifestyle you'd been experiencing hitherto? It was one of them.
Okay.
So,
well, can you go into that a bit? I mean, the lifestyle you'd been experiencing before, was it... It just wasn't fulfilling enough for you, I suppose.
No. Being a puffin on a Pembrokeshire coast, it's not easy. You've got the gulls to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since we've had the tourism boost, there's been more litter around, so there's been more gulls. The gulls are stealing your food, and they'll eat little puffins as well.
Oh, God, really?
Horrific, yeah.
I didn't realise there was such a tourism surge in Pembrokeshire.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's been terrible. So it was a bit of a living hell, to be honest. And when I got sort of stuffed in a Jasper's rucksack, I was ready for something different.
Okay.
I'd wanted it, so I didn't resent him for it. He's so tender. He just cradles my little puffin body with a tenderness that, you know, I hadn't experienced before. And I think, if I can say, I've always suspected, not to be a cod psychologist, that Jasper's inclination towards nature was, in fact, an emotional need, which was finally fulfilled the day that he stuffed me in his rucksack.
Exactly. I mean, as you've just witnessed, we're both philosophers in many ways as well. Sure. We both like a good read.
Yeah.
Late at night, he'll often read to me tucked me into bed. And
what sort of things do you read, Chris?
A variety of things. I mean, we try and do the great works. I'll read Shakespeare to Jasper. And we did Umberto Eco the other day. And I try and tuck him in. Of course, I've got no arms, so I have to use my beak. And the other day we were debating whether a puffin has a beak or a mouth. And where does a mouth begin and a beak end? Or vice versa. And it's that the quality of the discussions that we have.
Big chats.
Yeah, we go deep.
Where does a beak end and a mouth begin?
Exactly.
It's the conundrum, is the piece, as it were. You asking that question is the end of the debate.
How long is a piece of string? You know, that's what my friend Fishy said when I let go. How long is the piece of string?
Not long enough.
It wasn't long enough. No. But we've moved on.
Yeah. You're in a better place
now. I'm in a better place now. But yeah. Better friend. I mean, yeah. He would sleep with Millie, would you?
No.
Have you met? You've met Millie?
A couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, they get on, you know.
We get on fine.
Yeah.
You know, and there are physical, you know, factors.
That would make it impossible for you. Yeah.
Well, very difficult anyway. I mean.
Yeah.
But not impossible?
I mean, look, everyone can find an orifice or be creative.
Yeah.
You know, we're all life forms, aren't we?
Yeah. It's a drinking game, so I hope you'll be able to play those drinking games.
Yeah.
Find the crevice.
That's right, yeah. Jasper would try and force me into various orifice. Anything you could find.
It sounds like animal cruelty again. I mean, this is not the first time you've been accused of this, Jasper.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who were really angry to sort of read this postscript in your book. You didn't need to go into the orifice drinking game, but you insisted, and it kind of, you know, rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way, as it were.
Well, you know, it's as my friend Fishy once said, it's not gay if it's a dare. So, you know, that was his last words, I think. I miss him.
He was a philosopher as well.
Yeah, big time. Now I've got my puffin friend, and you know, how can it be cruel if he's you know, smiling?
Well, but it's hard to tell if it's a smile with the arrangement. Yeah.
A lot of people make presumptions about animals.
Yeah.
It looks like we're always smiling, and it looks like for puffins we've got a blot of mustard on either side of the mouth. And
is that not the
I've
case?
Not been eating a hot dog.
Okay.
I've had to tell people. And it's
disgusting, aren't they?
Well, they're horrific, yeah. But I lose patience with people saying, "Oh, you better wipe your mouth. There's nothing on it. I've got a coloured side of my mouth. And I've got a coloured beak. It doesn't mean I've been stuffing it in place. It's just it's the way I'm coloured."
I would like to point out, I do feed you.
Yeah. Oh, he does.
I feed him.
Yeah, but you haven't been feeding him puffin food. You've been feeding him burgers and whatever else you eat at the pub. How can you justify that?
I mean, it's good. It's good stuff, isn't it?
It's fantastic. I mean, I've been used to these silver eels that you get in the sand. And that's all we bloody eat.
Right. So for you, it's actually a very welcome treat to go into a...
I mean, to eat a cow... is an incredible experience for a beast that is not used to such food.
You've got to eat, you know, what you can to survive, I think. And if that's all that's there in the restaurant bistro, then you've got to go for it.
There's a really interesting, like, tension in between you. I mean, because, you know, you're not a vegetarian. And have you ever thought about what would happen if the two of you were exploring together somewhere very remote? And for you, Jasper, if you run out of food and there's nothing else around, you've got a puffin in your rucksack. You've got basically, sorry, Chris, cover your ears.
I can't.
That's what they are. But, you know, you've got a ready-made meal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what would you do in that situation?
I mean...
That would be awful.
If I'm totally honest... I have experimented. I mean, I've been to South London, Scotland, all around, really. So never say never.
Hang on, what? So you've experimented what? So
you know,
you've eaten different types of cuisine from a.
I've just been to different places.
But what I'm asking is, would you eat your friend if you your friend? I mean, he's a puffin. He's not. Sorry, Chris, but he's not a human. So.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Maybe in extreme circumstances.
Yeah, I sort of nibble on the on an area which was, you know, wasn't particularly important to him. I wouldn't start with you know, anything disgusting. I wouldn't, you know, I'd leave the armpits alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he was, you know, if he'd perished, if he'd, you know, been destroyed, then it's you know, if I had to stay alive, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd do what I had to do.
Yeah, fair.
I think that's fair enough. And if Jasper, you know, died on one of our travels, I would go into vulture mode. What?
Would you? Would you eat me?
If I had to, and you were dead, yeah, I would. Well, come on, survival is just what, you know.
Yeah.
Well, come on, the door swings both ways, doesn't it?
Well,
if you were dead, I'd eat you. I'd eat your flesh.
All of it?
Yeah. Well, as much as I needed, yeah. I'd get a belly full.
Quite a good, like, week's worth at least out of that, no?
You'd be like a big buffet. Puffin and buffet. That's what we would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that's...
It's hard, isn't it?
Well, it's difficult,
but... Exploring with your best mate, because all these sorts of issues about mortality come up, don't they?
Yeah.
And particularly... For you guys, I guess, being different species, it just adds that extra layer of...
It is said that a man who eats another man inherits the strength of the man he's eaten.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it would be an interesting philosophical experiment to find out if the same is true.
You're not a man, though.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. What would happen if you ate a puffin? But then again, you eat cows all the time or whatever.
Yeah.
And you don't, you're not mooing in that. You don't have another.
No.
So,
that's true.
I suppose, well, that's that problem solved. But, you know, if I were to eat you, would I inherit some of your strength? Probably not. But again, the question is the answer.
If you ate my genitals, would you grow genitals? I don't think so.
I mean, that'd be amazing if I was like normal 2-3 foot tall puffin size with human genitalia. I mean, that would be a terrifying.
Oh, it's a terrible image. I've got it in my head right
now. I can imagine now, I'd go outside someone's window.
What'd you do?
Well, I'd stand outside their window
yeah.
with my human genitals hanging down and just stare at them going...
That's horrendous.
Sorry, cigarette.
Wow.
I mean, that would...
You've got to stop smoking.
No, I know. Well, you've got me all... This is... See, of course,
yeah, this is
we came
thing.
To the city...
Yeah.
And this changed me in many ways. We haven't gone into this, but this caused a lot of lifestyle changes for me because I had to adapt from being a coastal bird into a city dweller and find work and all of the demands.
What sort of work were you on the lookout for?
Well, I was...
Do you have to be employed?
It helps, yeah. Oh, okay. It helps. And I thought, you know, we were sharing a space and I wanted to contribute. Yeah, you know, within the confines of being an animal, and he's all
that. More than the space, it was a pierre de terre.
Yeah, it was a pierre de terre, isn't it? And so I wanted to contribute to the pierre de terre, and I went on Gumtree.
Oh, yeah.
Jasper suggested this, and I found a magician who was looking for a new dove.
Right.
And
how did that audition go?
Well, I emailed him with my beak, and it
took a while.
Took fucking ages. And I said, look, and I my spelling's rubbish because I'm only an animal. But I messaged him and said, look, I'm not a dove, I'm a puffin. But if you're looking for something different, I'm looking for work. And I reckon this could be quite a novel act. And this fella, Ed Huff, he took me in. And we became a double act for a couple of years, huffing and puffing.
wow, you're huffing and puffing.
That's right.
That's amazing. I've seen you guys.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, it's not that amazing. I mean, you know, well, okay.
I thought they were really impressive.
Well, yeah, whatever.
What, you're not a fan of huffing?
No, no, I think, you know.
Sense a bit of jealousy here.
Everyone needs a job, you know.
Here we go again.
I just don't think, you know, I had a perfectly good job set up for you in the city with my friends. I don't know why he couldn't.
What was that like in finance?
Yeah, you know, simple numbers. Mm.
I'm not a numbered. I've been trying to tell him, I don't like numbers. I'm a creative soul.
You are who you want to be.
Well, I think I don't choose this. I have this yearning to entertain, and
I bought him a suit. You know, I bought him a suit and everything.
Yeah, it's really cute. You went to a lot of effort.
It was tailor made. It had no arms and it had a tie. I was very dashing in that suit. I've still got it. I'm very grateful for it, but. You know, it's not what I wanted. It's what you wanted for me, not what I wanted for me. And what you want for me should be what I want for me if we're to have a long-term friendship, which is why, in fact, we are here today back in Pembrokeshire, where this may be our parting of ways.
What do you mean? So you mean because of the conflict you had because you couldn't make it work living together in London?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it became a little bit difficult. I mean, you know, we've talked about this and we respect each other, but it might be that, as I say, you know, Jasper wants certain things from me, and I think I want different things right now. So
it's difficult when you've got a flatmate and you're, you know, there's notes on the fridge, clogging up the bath, you're shedding of feathers, you know, an incredible rate. Mm-hmm. Bath overflowed. I mean. Almost, you know, every day. But I didn't, you know, I didn't go on at him about it. And, you know, he didn't need to have a bed that was that big. Yeah, he could have been on the couch.
I guess he didn't need an entire room.
No, exactly. Exactly. Mm.
Sorry, Chris.
It's hard for him. This is what I had to put up with every night, you know, thrashing about.
God.
Nightmares that he was having, and I really looked after him. I felt. I mean, it's new to me. You know, I'm from Berkshire.
So the whole London experience was an adventure. You were both going on. Yeah. But I think
we're both like a fish out of water, or you know, puffin out of Wales.
But I think, you know, I think the RSPB. You know, I think for them, like. I don't know. I know you say you looked after him, but not letting him pursue his career, or not supporting him in his career, I think they had a real issue with that. Like, they didn't mind the smoking and you know, relocating him to London, but I think when it came to not supporting his magic act, that was, like, the final straw for people. And
I mean,
is cruelty to animals.
I mean, is it cruel to give someone free rent? The amount of bottles of champagne that I bought you...
Mm.
I mean, it was just constant, and you know, he had great fun. You know, I introduced you to a hell of a lot of fillies, and you weren't complaining then, were you? Yeah, come on.
Well, what's next for you, Jasper? What, are you going to be alone again?
No, I'll find someone. I might, you know, Spanky's going on an adventure, so.
All right.
Yeah, I might see.
Spanky.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you why he's called Spanky. I mean, come on. He's going up a mountain. So,
just any old mountain?
It's a certain mountain in the Peruvian Alps, I think. When he's never, no one's. I don't think anyone's ever got to the top. It's like it's horrendously dangerous. It's almost certain death. So.
Oh my God.
So we have to do it, just to prove it to ourselves. So,
do you think you're the best person to do? I mean, no offense, but I don't think.
You know, who is?
Well, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. But like, I don't know if I'd feel safe going with you because the amount of people that literally fall by the wayside.
The amount I drink. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
that as well. I mean, I'm an absolute liability.
Are you going to be pissed going up that mountain?
I mean, when haven't I been? You've got to have fun. You've got to have fun. I mean, 24/7.
This is the other thing.
It's the rules, isn't it?
You don't know when he's sober or when he's drunk, and it's a bit. You don't know when he means it or when he's going to turn around and go, "That was me being drunk."
Oh.
So again, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
You don't emotionally know where to stand with him.
That's how fun I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that fun, Chris, for you?
Not always.
No.
Because
you're actually weeping. I don't know if that is a tear, but I think
champagne probably.
Overflow,
of course, yeah. The amount you've probably had.
Oh, Chris.
Well, they could look it up. Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, like, you know, all I'm saying is it's time for us to part ways.
Mm.
But I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stick it out here. And all I'm saying is that if you want to come back, visit us sometime, that will be all right.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know.
Do some exploring down here again.
Yeah, I'm sure there's places to explore. It's a bit flat for me. I'll see. Check the diary. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna miss him.
Yeah,
we've had some larks.
Yeah,
had some good japes.
Another philosophical question.
Yeah,
if you could both swap for a night, would you? How would you feel about that?
Do you want my puffin?
Like, not that you can, but. Philosophically.
Puff in general. For a night, be all right, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
Like, how deep does this friendship go? Is definitely what I'm asking by this.
I'd be up for that for a night. I mean,
I don't know if I'd be able to fly with it.
But it would be weird and you're getting a lot of trouble.
I can't really fly. I can climb.
Yeah,
you wouldn't need to though.
Well, you'd have my genitals, which are
that's a very good point.
Which
actually.
Are very
what's there? There's nothing.
Which is kind of like it's a bit like a proboscis, but it's heavily sheathed. So
I didn't understand most of those words.
Barbed, sheathed proboscis.
I mean, I'm game for a laugh. I mean,
that'd be your greatest adventure, wouldn't
never
it?
Never say never.
That'll be
the next book, you know.
Yeah.
Swapping genitals with animals and lending them yours. your genitals, on me, are bloody weird. It'd be like a drone with a cock.
Well, thanks very much. That's a compliment.
That could be your next book, Drone with a Cock.
Drone with a Cock. I mean... I can see it now. I'll call the publisher.
Mm-hmm.
I think Uncle would be up for that. Yeah.
See, we're a good team. Yeah. Creative top partnership.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Well, it's been, amazing to hang out with you both. There's been a lot of controversy about this friendship and whether it is actually cruelty to birds. The jury's out, but, it was... I think you mean well in terms of your friendship towards Chris, and
I think
it's good to know that you felt all right about it generally.
I was fine with it. I mean, it wasn't he was never cruel. He was slightly speciesist in that I think some of his commanding tone and his expectations did stem from him being a species as high up on the food chain.
Exactly. Okay.
I mean, it's natural, the status, the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's got to lead. Someone's got to make the food. He hasn't got any hands, so that was a problem. Mm. I've got money and pockets.
I guess
that's what puts us above animals, isn't it?
Money and pockets. I mean,
but you can't fly, and you can, but you have to get in one of those big tubs, and that's not the same. So that's it.
Yeah.
So that is something that you lot need to sort out. We've got that.
Also, his diction is appalling.
my what?
I've been trying to explain to you your diction.
Oh right, yeah.
Mm.
Thought you were referring to my
no.
Barbed sheath proboscis.
No. Somebody, I sort of tried to sort of teach him the English language.
Yeah.
I think you've done a really good job of that.
It's still pretty appalling.
No, I think he's done pretty good. I mean, before it was literally just. And then he started teaching me some basics. Like, he taught me the word but. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, but.
It was a tough month.
And then we went from there. And he got rid of my my Welsh accent as well. Well,
yeah.
In London.
Absolutely atrocious.
It was terrible.
I'm glad. But seen the back
of
that one.
Do you ever slip back into it, though?
Not really. With birds and animals, because we've got a shorter lifespan, where everything happens quicker. So you spend a couple of years in London, it's like you've been spent like 20 human years there, or something.
So in other words, it's really ingrained now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And when I was there, I wasn't speaking English anyway. So when I'm doing this... It's with a thick Pembrokeshire accent.
Oh, yeah, can we hear the difference? So this is currently with a London accent.
So when I do it now...
Yeah.
That's with a London accent.
Yeah.
And now, this is with a Pembrokeshire accent. Is there a difference?
Yeah, yeah. It's
horrendous.
Night and day.
There you go.
Well, it's been really nice talking to you guys.
It's been absolutely lovely. Thank you.
It's been great. So, Jasper, you've already got two books out, and you're going on tour currently.
Yeah,
I guess you'll be signing your books at the end. Going
absolutely.
All over the place.
Of course, because I've got hands. I mean, I don't mean to. Sorry,
I have to rub it in.
Yeah, I know.
But Chris, I understand you've got a documentary coming out.
Yeah,
My Life with Jasper.
That's right. Documentary team were very fascinated in the nature of our relationship, and wanted to make a piece on it. So they followed us around for a while. It's an objective look at the relationship between man and beast, and try not to see me as a pet, but a co-being, and that has been. This documentary is trying to bring about awareness of a new kind of relationship between man and beast.
Well, also, you know, what is you know, beast and what is man? You know,
well, there we go.
Millie says I'm a beast in the bedroom. So, one of the jokes that we have.
Yeah, So again, another philosophical conundrum for you right now.
Maybe you're like a human in the bedroom, like a man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A bit restrained, a bit proper.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, something to ponder, isn't it?
Definitely something to ponder. So your documentary will be out on BBC4?
That's right, yeah.
Wednesday, 10 p.m?
Yep. So check it out.
Definitely be tuning in. And good luck with your new life.
Look, I'm going to see how it goes here back at the coast. It might be ready for me to go. If not... you know, Jasper, as I say, you're welcome to pop round. If you're exploring again, maybe I'll see you again. I'll leave the ball in your court on it.
Yeah, I'll grab the ball. Yeah,
great.
It's not gay if it's a dare, is it? So, come on.
No,
but I mean, you haven't given me an address or anything, so I mean, it's quite going to be quite hard to find you.
Don't you like that?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, he likes to play hard to get a little bit, you know.
I mean, it's another adventure, another expedition.
Absolutely, yeah, the unknown.
Mm.
I'll be the one nibbling on a cow. There's a clue for you.
Oh, I do like the unknown. It's, you know, they say search the unknown. I don't know a lot, so
yeah.
I'm constantly searching, I suppose. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, we'll do.
I'm going to miss you.
Yeah.
If I'm honest.
Well, we'll promise you.
I feel like I should leave you guys.
Have a little hug.
Yeah,
I'm sick.
I'll just get out of your way.
Cradle so me in that way that only you know how.
That feels really good, actually.
Yeah, it feels great. I feel like your baby. Almost want to be breastfed by you.
Going to miss you?
I miss you as well. I'll see you later.
Yeah, see you later.
I'm here with Alma, who has turned 112 years old today. Alma, what do you attribute your longevity to?
Well, probably a combination of genetic good fortune and access to universal healthcare free at the point of delivery.
Yeah, but I mean, something like, do you eat porridge every day?
I think it's more to do with a combination of factors. I'm female, which until the 20th century would have meant a shorter life due to the number of women who died during childbirth. But the huge advances being made in medical care now mean that women generally outlive men. Men are more represented in professions prone to industrial accidents, of course, like building and mining. So that's also a factor.
No, but do you stay away from the opposite sex or whatever? Or not? Do you kiss the postman every morning? Say something folksy like that.
Well, I think it's more to do with being reasonably affluent. Income has always affected longevity. Access to certain treatments in the UK is based on postcode, so I've been lucky in that sense. I'm white, and as appalling as it is, race still has a dramatic effect on one's predicted lifespan, as does level of education, and lots of young people from poorer backgrounds are being shut out of higher education due to rising university fees, meaning they're struggling to lift themselves out of the poverty they came from, something which, if it were possible, would have a great effect on their predicted lifespan.
Right, cut. Look, we're going to record this again. And can you just say you've reached this age because you have cats or something?
But I don't have cats.
Look, this is the nice bit at the end of the news. People want to be told they can reach this age if they just, you know, do something simple like get a pet or eat a particular breakfast. It's terrifying to think your lifespan is actually determined by things like genetics, social class, gender and skin colour, because there's nothing much anyone can do about those things, okay? Keep it light. All right, go again. I'm here with Alma, who has turned 112 years old today. Alma, what do you attribute your longevity to?
I eat a particular breakfast.
Fascinating stuff. Happy birthday, Alma. Back to the studio. Cut, we'll go with that.
You've been listening to the special 10th episode of Susan Harrison's Back Row. Hooray! With Gemma Arrowsmith, Jasper Cromwell-Jones, looked after by Joe Bohr, Chris the Puffin, looked after by Andrew Gentilly, and of course, Alma, looked after by Gemma Arrowsmith.